Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
I'm Ellen.
And I'm Kathleen.
Welcome to the show. All right, welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. We have a special guest here with us. Kelsey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me, Ellen.
I'm really excited to have this episode. We usually do a listener question at the beginning of every episode, but we're going to skip that for this episode just because I want to give as much time as we can to this conversation because it's just going to be a blast. So if you're like really hurt about not having a listener question, reach out to me and just ask me your question on Instagram. All right. So Kelsey, can you just start off by introducing yourself, telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So hi, everyone. My name is Kelsey Skoke, and I've been in the ministry really of sexual intimacy for about 8 years now. But my experience mostly comes through just our over-sexualized culture and how it has distorted intimacy between two people, and particularly through the lens of pornography and masturbation. So in my lifetime, I mean, serving in tons of different ministries, but most importantly, I became a focus missionary right out of college and worked with a lot of women in colleges. And I started noticing a very similar experience of my own and my own brokenness with a lot of the women that I was working with in Bible studies and just on campus. And then I also started noticing it within my fellow missionaries, and I started having conversations with the women. And that essentially snowballed into recommending to, you know, the higher ups and myself when I became, you know, in leadership in focus, to start giving talks and training specifically for women to combat these issues of pornography and masturbation. Because unfortunately in our world, it's still seen more as a male issue, as mm-hmm. as, oh, like women might struggle with emotional intimacy or things like that, which does happen, but men also struggle in that area too. And then men, they're struggling with the visual, the issues of pornography and masturbation. But yeah, with our technology changing over time and just with the accessibility of our cell phones and internet, I would say women are right up there next to men in terms of the struggle. Mm-hmm. And so it's been just a joy of a labor of love because of my own brokenness and my own struggles with these sins in my own life kind of has flowed into a full-time ministry of helping women working out their own addictions, their own struggles, their own issues with intimacy, and helping women heal and be free fully from these areas in their life. So that's kind of, I mean, that's like a generalization of what I do, but yeah, that's kind of a little bit more about me.
I love it. And what we're going to be talking about today is just a little bit about what Kelsey does in ministry, of just the impact that our over-sexualized culture has on our marriages and like the difficulties that marriages then have in response to consuming, even if it's not explicitly pornography. I have an interesting question for you, Kelsey. Like, we were talking before we pressed record about how, like, what the definition of pornography is. And actually, could you just share that with us? And then I'll ask you this question.
Yes. So my favorite definition of pornography actually comes from the Catechism. And it's any real or simulated sexual act that removes itself from the intimacy of the two parties deliberately to a third party. So that's a little bit paraphrased. But any time where there is sexual intimacy, whether it's real or fake, that is deliberately given to a third party or created for a third party. So this could be written, this could be audio, this could be visual, obviously. But any situation where, and a lot of times we're going to talk about a fake intimacy, but if it's sexualized in any nature, if in its nature, or if it's a sexual act that's being displayed to a third party, that is pornography that we are consuming anytime we listen, watch, read that intimacy of another act that's not ours, right?
Right.
We're not actually a part of that.
Right.
So yeah, that would be the definition I most go to when I'm talking with women.
So do you think that there are a lot of women out there who don't even realize that they struggle with pornography because they're just watching regular TV shows? They're just watching regular movies.
100%. Every time I'm giving a talk, I would argue that almost every single person has seen pornography, right? And everyone has been affected by our over-sexualized culture. Now, just because you've seen pornography doesn't necessarily mean you're addicted. Mm-hmm. But I would suggest that I myself fell into this category where I did not think that what I was viewing was pornography for years. I mean, I did struggle with masturbation, but I would have never, I mean, it took years to finally realize that what I had also been consuming visually was pornography. And that's just because I was on YouTube and I was, you know, innocently in high school and college being like, oh, best kissing scenes from chick flicks. And that kind of rolled into like sex scenes in movies. But I assumed, what, I'm on YouTube, like this is not an X-rated pornographic site. You know, these people most often are fully clothed, which is a whole nother issue. Naked, I think there was an assumption that pornography assumes nakedness. And that's how a lot of current television shows and movies have gotten around it, is they can display pornography because they have their actors and actresses clothed, but they're having sex. I'm literally not looking at the screen, like, that's exactly what I'm watching right now. And so, yeah, it doesn't necessarily need to show full body. I mean, the definition I just used has nowhere in there does it have the necessary requirement of nudity. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of people consuming pornography without realizing it. And that's heartbreaking because pornography does change our brain chemistry. It changes what we're attracted to. It changes like our self-confidence in so many ways. It changes us in the bedroom, which is what we're here to talk about, is, you know, in those 8 years, I myself have gotten married, I've had children, and I'm with a lot more married women. And a lot of women who know, okay, you talk about awkward things or kind of sensitive things, Kelsey. I want to talk to you about what's going on in my marital intimacy. And so, yes, this conversation very much impacts our marriages and in both sides, whether it's the woman's experience viewing or experiencing masturbation or the husband's. And so I definitely have started working a lot more with the marital intimacy aspect of it, too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I really like what John Paul II says about pornography, is that it's not showing too much, it's showing too little, right? Mm-hmm. It is a lie. Like any of them, even if the movie is showing a perfectly chaste married couple, like having sex as they should, that's still a lie because it's being portrayed out to a third party. And like, there's a reason that this is an act only for husband and wife and for the bedroom, like, because it's so personal, because it's so individual, and because it is so open. And, you know, that's, we talk about how it's a free, total, faithful gift of self, right? And we're missing that when somehow a third party is like added into the equation.
Participating in some way. And as a viewer, right, like, I do not have the right to be a part of that intimacy. That is not appropriate, nor is it prudent. I mean, all the words you could use. Right. That was not meant for me. And a lot of times I talk about the way sex was designed and for its purpose and intent. Any time when you distort sex's design or its main purpose that God created, you start grasping. And so anytime when someone's grasping, because they're not fully satisfied, and we see this with so many dissatisfied sex lives out there, it's because they're grasping at something that isn't its full completion of what it's meant to be and what its purpose is. And so that's where it breaks my heart, because there's so many people really like in love with their spouse, and they've maybe done a lot of things that they should have, whether it's, you know, waiting to have sex until marriage or not viewing pornography or whatever. But because our over-sexualized culture is still impacting it somehow, there could still be some aspect that you're grasping at and not allowing that intimacy to come into full fruition, let alone all the people who, unfortunately, like myself, have fallen more into the world's brokenness and have attempted at achieving the full design of God's plan outside of it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, being left unsatisfied, which is where addiction can kind of hit in, is you're always trying to get to the next high, if you will, without even realizing it. I mean, let me just say this, like, anyone who might be struggling with viewing pornography or masturbation, it's not like you're consciously going like, I need another high, let's try this. Your brain is thinking these things for you. And so oftentimes I like to talk about the science, like the in your brain, what's going on chemically, because these things very much impact our brain, which then affects our behaviors. And particularly, there's two chemicals that are released in your brain when you're engaging in pornography or even masturbation, and that's the release of dopamine and oxytocin. And so, you know, dopamine's that really good feeling chemical that we all love, and oxytocin's the bonding chemical mm-hmm. that literally bonds you to the person that you are sexually intimate with. And so when you take those things and they are, you know, released when you are consuming pornography or you are using masturbation, it's an artificial release that doesn't bond you to anyone and gives you that good feeling that you're looking for. But it's not done in a way that our brains are really prepared for that full release in communion with another being. And unfortunately, then what happens is if you maybe fell into that when you were anxious or lonely or tired or whatever, you know, the myriad of feelings you probably could have been feeling in those moments, but you felt really good then, the dopamine hit. So anytime you have any of those triggers again, that's what you're going to fall back into. You're going to go, your body is literally going to go, hey, this felt really good. This gave me that up when I needed it. So when you're sad or lonely, your brain is going to just already be like, what if we did this? Right? And it's going to just introduce that idea into your mind. And the temptation then starts from there. And so it's really important just to learn these things about our bodies so we know how to better combat them. Because this can also enter into the marital bedroom in a various ways as well. So I don't want to get too far into it. But I do think that's an important piece of addiction is the brain chemistry of it all.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about how, you know, all of this content out in the world are these TV shows, these movies that we all watch that are, they're all, you know, we've seen one or more of them, right? And they paint this inaccurate picture of the marital act. And that then informs what actually happens in our bedrooms, because we don't have a safe place to actually learn some of these things in a non-pornographic way.
Yeah.
You know, like what I'm seeing and what's scaring me is I'm getting in contact with women and it's just their marriages are being ripped apart because this most intimate act, which is supposed to be a fruit of a deep and intimate love, is not approached in the way that it should be, because pop culture has told us, oh, like sex is just for the man, or sex should just take like 5 minutes, or like, you know, foreplay is not necessary. You know, all these different messages.
Yes. No, that's, you're speaking to so many truths. A lot of times when I'm giving talks and I'm like, girls, if you want to know if it's fake, like, see if the couple goes to the bathroom after having sex. Like, are they peeing? Because they need to be peeing.
No, and one I'm usually talks the about room that.
Usually the room loses it because it's so, like, most women, hopefully, you know, by the college level, have realized the hygienic aspect of, ladies, if you're listening to this and you don't know, you should pee after having sex. Because of
within
the risk
an hour.
Yes. Yes, within an hour, right? Because there's just different things going on and you need to make sure everything is peed out, right? Make sure there's no bacteria growth in there. So that's an important aspect to just basic hygiene. And a lot of times we see in the movies, my husband and I will like, and when it's, they don't show it, but they'll have like, you know, the closing door in the bedroom. And they like wake up and they're naked and sprawled out on a bed. And you're like, and we just like laugh. We're like, they didn't go pee. They just like all of a sudden fell asleep on top of each other. Like we just every time we're like, you don't just fall asleep after sex, like immediately following. Like there's a few other things that happen.
Right. And there's just like this like immediate rollover and cuddle. And there's no like grab for a towel. There's no like, and I'm just like, are you washing your sheets like every day? Is this like,
I mean, not even every day, like immediately following like the cuddle.
Wait,
like,
I don't want to sleep
up
in that.
And stripping your bed. Cause that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I have like when someone's newly getting married, I'm like, lay a towel down.
Right?
You haven't learned. Lay a towel down. No one gave me that advice. So little TMI for you, but I did not lay a towel down. Yeah. I think it's something that it needs to be, the reason why we're laughing about this and the reason why it's so good, it's so uplifting because this is truth. And I think that's just a small indication of what's mm-hmm. going on when you're watching these scenes. And I do think women are watching these, I mean, whether it could be alongside their spouse, but both of you, both the husband and the wife have had the over-sexualized culture in their minds, feeding mm-hmm. whatever expectation, you know, is. And it could be completely different. We don't know. And honestly, it's hard for me to say this is the movie that taught me this expectation or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so
I could admit personally that Friends informed a lot of my understanding of sex.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, do you have like a specific thing in that?
Well, it's because so Friends was really popular when I was growing up. It actually Friends came out the year that I was born. Like its pilot episode came out the year I was born. And it was highly popular to my parents' generation. So it was like it was always on. Like Wednesday night, that's when Friends was on. Mm-hmm. And so and Friends went on for a decade. Like right. So
yes.
From 0 to 10, yes. my information about sex came from the TV show Friends. Which yeah, is
I mean,
really
I have rewatched like the series, and yeah, there is a lot of stuff in there that, you know, when you're watching it as a kid or whatever, you don't understand what's happening. And
right.
Then you're
but
like,
it still informs you. Like
it does.
It's like you don't
it really does.
5-year-old, 7-year-old Ellen like doesn't understand these things, but it informed everything. Mm-hmm. It informed my foundation, which then like grew from there into some really
and
negative
stuff. I would say that's actually like on the lighter side. So
right.
what we're currently seeing today. So one thing I do within my apostolate ministry is I generally like to see, okay, what is the current popular thing that people are consuming on media? And so Netflix, unfortunately, is probably the best way to kind of gauge that. Mm-hmm. And so looking at like, you know, the top 10 shows that are currently going on, I try and pick out, you know, the top 3 or top 4, and I'll watch a few episodes just to learn what is it that people are watching out there? Mm-hmm. And honestly, in the past couple of years, I have been, I mean, it's very hard to shock me these days. I mean, with the women I'm counseling and working with and talking to. But I have been shocked at how explicit the pornography has gotten in these TV shows. And again, like I said, they're fully clothed so they can get away. I mean, one of these shows was a TV 14 rating, and which in the first episode, one of the main characters is using a sex toy. And you're just sitting here like, this is TV 14. So if I was a parent and my high schooler, you know, my little 14-year-old comes in and throws on a show and I check the rating and I'd be like, oh, okay, it's not R, right? And or TVM, mature, which is almost every show on Netflix these days, which gives them free reign to do whatever they want. Yeah, like I would say, okay, that's an okay show. But yeah, in the first episode, there's a sex toy. This high school girl in the show has never been kissed. She kisses a boy. An episode or two later, she has sex with him. And it's like a day or two later in the show. It's not even like, oh, in the future they do it. It's like she has her first kiss and then has sex. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. Even as a parent, how do I protect my children from this culture? But as a person, just watching this and thinking like, oh, that's normal. Like it's stripping what God intended and the whole plan. And then it puts so much pressure on us as women of what the expectation could be. Like, okay, men in my life who might be watching this or women, like they now think that basically having sex is an entry into a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like to know if we're sexually compatible within the first few dates, that's how we know if we're going to become boyfriend and girlfriend. And that's just a really scary reality of like, that's not what we should have as our expectation, but that's what the media is portraying to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, you go.
No, I was just going to say like the implications of that are so scary as just a parent, like looking ahead to, you know, my children growing up more and more into this over-sexualized culture of like, I need, you know, the foundation needs to be laid now when they're 2 mm-hmm. and 4 years old, right? Not that I'm talking with them explicitly about sex right now. Like that's definitely above their age level. But there are things that I can start talking to them about that is appropriate for their age level, that then the conversation continues. Because if we wait until our kids are 10 or 14 to talk to them about sex, we are way too late. And like personally, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what happened to me because I was informed about sex from Friends. Mm-hmm. And then my mom talked to me about it. And that was incompatible with what I had been informed about.
Right. And friends in your life, not like Friends the TV show, right?
No, I meant the TV show. Like,
oh, okay. You were informed. Okay. I was like, maybe you're talking about like girlfriends. Okay. So yeah, the show.
Right.
The show informed you about it. Yes.
Just, you know, and so it was like, I had these like incompatible, like what is sex? Which ultimately mm-hmm. turned into me just shutting out everything that had to do with sex. Cause I was like, none of this makes sense. So clearly it's all bad, which led to further issues.
There is like really two pendulums of women I see. It's the mm-hmm. women who like grew up in a household or environment in which sex is bad. This is not good. You don't even mm-hmm. look at it, think about it, whatever. And that causes obviously all the marital issues that go along with that type of mentality versus a household in which, and again, it doesn't mean that the parents are teaching this, but just your experience growing up is such that, you know, over-sexualize a distortion of the reality of sex and all that comes with those issues in terms of understanding God's design for it. And honestly, neither of those is God's design. When I'm talking to a lot of parents, it's like having these healthy conversations of how beautiful and sacred and amazing sex is and talking about it in that mm-hmm. language and how good our bodies are and how like just magnificent it is. You mentioned the quote that is attributed to JP2 of like, yeah, pornography, it's not that it reveals too much, it's that it reveals too little. The world's demonstration of sex is pathetic when you actually know the truth of what the intimacy could be and what two spouses who come together, as you mentioned, totally, freely, faithfully, fruitfully is, I mean, out of this world, literally. Right, it is like, it's an eternal tap into the divine love of the Trinity. We don't have time to go into that, but that's what it is. And it's amazing. And just those two dichotomies are just, it's so wrong.
Well, let's talk about another issue that we see is it's like, okay, hey parents, we're telling you right now, like tell your kids about how incredible sex is in age appropriate ways. Right. But here's the problem is we've got a whole bunch of women who hate sex because it's uncomfortable or it hurts or they've never received an orgasm or it's too short or there's no foreplay because our over-sexualized culture has informed our married couples about, you know, quote, what sex should be. And it's so inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know,
so how do they even speak from a place?
How do they even speak?
Of experience.
I'm sure you listening right now, like you might be thinking this of like, well, but sex isn't pleasurable. Sex isn't, I don't have a wonderful experience during sex. I mm-hmm. only do it because I know my husband likes it. And I just kind of, I'm just listening to this podcast because we use NFP and it's annoying. Like, and now you're
hoping
me
they're going
to
give
like
me that. Hoping Ellen's just going to give me the trade secret to making like NFP easy. Right. Not this podcast, lady. Maybe a future one. No, that is so true. It is heartbreaking. But I do think it doesn't need to stop there. It doesn't need to be like, okay, over-sexualized culture, distorted sex, so now you have a terrible sex life, and oops. Like, there is healing that can be done. And one, it starts, I think, with the conversation between the spouses. Like, you could even say, hey, I just listened to this podcast, honey. And it was talking about the influence of our over-sexualized culture and how that influences our expectations in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like, and honestly, maybe even go through an exercise of like, hey, can you sit down and think about what are the primary, whether it's TV shows or movies, books, songs that you come immediately to mind when you think of like, what has shaped my sexual understanding? Like when I understand mm-hmm. what sex is, what can I literally write down? I mean, it could be a conversation with your mom, which if that is the case, that's awesome. Cause that's probably not what most people think about when they think of what has shaped their understanding of sex. But like, have you and your husband write down all of those things? That could be a really healthy exercise. And I know if there is pornography usage, like in his past or in your past, that also could bring up a lot of wounds. So I say that with the caveat, like if that is something that is in your background, to maybe open that conversation with your marriage counselor mm-hmm. or someone like that like has already maybe discussed these things with you. Or if you know that that's been in your past and you have done the hard work and worked through that, you can say, hey, I know clearly that has shaped, you know, our experience of mm-hmm. sex. Maybe let's go for what in that has like been an expectation, whether it is immediate arousal, right? Which is all of pornography.
Right.
For some women, the hard truth is if a woman has been watching X-rated pornography, it's something like 95 or 96% of pornography displays violence during the sexual act. And a lot of it, like almost 90% of that, is against the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work with a lot of women, if they have had like an addiction or just overexposure to pornography, they become aroused from violence in sex. And this can happen both ways. If a man has consumed this type of pornography, he maybe increases his arousal through violence. And it is that it, ladies, that is not okay. That is not God's design. That is not
And you know what's
his plan.
Scary, Kelsey, is because I do a lot of research into, you know, just sex education and like the, you know, I'm trying to create healthy avenues for learning this information for Catholic women. So I'm doing all the research into the secular stuff.
Right.
And our secular culture does not see that that's a problem.
No,
it's like, if you get turned on by violence, it's fine. That's just what turns
fetish,
it on.
Right? Like, that's just your thing.
That is so, it's so broken. It's so broken.
And the reason why is, I think if you're in it, like, or sorry, if you're not in it, it makes no sense, right? Like, well, why, how could anyone think that someone causing harm in any way, emotional, physical, anything, would at all represent love, the gift that you are giving to your spouse? How could adding violence into that create any type of thing? And that's where this pornography thing really has added into it. It's not like someone's like, you know what I would love? Like from like, you know, whatever age, let's say it's 18 that you're starting to watch pornography. It's like, I would love to watch violent sex. No. But what happens is you see it introduced. And then because of what I mentioned of the dopamine, the oxytocin, like these chemicals are released in your brain. You become aroused while experiencing sex and the violence combined. And over time, you have literally reset your brain to become aroused to violence. And therefore, there are ways to rewire your brain. There are tons of therapy options. There's tons of out and inpatient care. If that's what you need, please seek that type of help, because these things are not good and healthy for you. Because if you play these out long term, as I mentioned, they're never going to satisfy you, and you're always going to grasp, and you're always going to look for more, or even more aggressive, more frequent. It's never going to be enough. And unfortunately, that can become very dangerous long term. And I think just, that's a reality. But yeah, I want to stop.
Oh my gosh, we could keep going.
We'll have a podcast episode about that.
We'll just have you back on. It's fine. And we just have a few minutes left, but I think I just want to end on a note of hope. I feel like a lot of this has been kind of heavy, and people are listening like, oh my gosh, my sex life is ruined.
And that's where keep going. But that would be far from the truth. So let's definitely talk more about the healing aspect and how to kind of break free from some of these expectations.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I think the foundation, the absolute foundation, is prayer and recognizing that your marriage is an image of the communion of persons of the Trinity. That's what it's doing. That is the main goal of your marriage, is to image that. And meditate on that if you need to. If you're like, I don't see that. I don't see that in my marriage. I don't see that in my sexual relationship. Meditate on that. And then I think beyond that, then the other foundation, right? The other foundational stone is conversation, deep, good conversation with your husband about this, because this is not, if you're struggling with some aspect of this, or you know your husband is struggling, or you guys are both struggling, like, it's not going to be solved on islands. Your marriage is your marriage. Like, you guys you two have become one now. And like, this is something, it's a team sport. Like, we talk about how like sex is a team sport on the podcast before. Like, your marriage is a team sport. Sex is a team sport. So like, this is something that needs to be done together. What else, Kelsey?
100%. Yeah, no, all of those things. And I think kind of what we had mentioned earlier about walking through that list with your spouse of like, what are your expectations? What are his expectations? And then breaking those down of like, okay, that's not realistic. Or that you know, I've learned over time. I know, Ellen, your orgasm course that I had a chance to kind of preview, you know, breaks down a lot of like the false expectations for the woman and the needs that are in place for her to receive pleasure as well as the husband. And so like doing things like that, like reading some books, there's a great book, Holy Sex. And mm-hmm. I have like a whole list, and I'm sure Ellen does too, of like books that can maybe help you understand the truth. Like, okay, honey, now that we're looking at these expectations, now we need to learn what are real expectations. Like that actually is something we should expect, like closeness mm-hmm. and true like emotional intimacy should be an expectation on both of your lists, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a good one. That one should be there. So figuring out which ones shouldn't be there and which ones should, taking courses like what Ellen offers, or reading some books or podcasts, listening together on some, mm-hmm. just to learn the truth of where these realities are. And pray, and like you mentioned prayer, I think anything on your list that you know is a false expectation, to pray with that and ask Jesus to heal it, to remove it from your brain. Mm-hmm. There is great power in the healing of memories and praying through some of those memories. Mm-hmm. This also works if you've had a struggle with pornography. I will actually take a scene that's in my brain and I will let it flash in my mind while I'm in front of Jesus in the tabernacle. And I said, Jesus, take this. I do not want this anymore. And then I leave it there. I don't dwell on it. Don't ruminate. Don't think about that scene again. But, you know, the next time you're in prayer, flash that scene and say it. And honestly, over several years, I have been able to fully remove mm-hmm. several of my most damaging, you know, scenes or things that I, you know, I've witnessed. And so I the healing is possible. I am proof mm-hmm. and experience of the healing that can be done. That the Lord can heal all of anything that you've been exposed to, experienced, the false expectations. And then the last thing I will say is we really need to watch what we are consuming, mm-hmm. what we are listening to, what we are reading, and what we are watching. And so you and your husband should really look at, what shows are we watching together? I mean, my husband and I, if we're watching a show and there is even an inkling of a sex scene, we literally like look at each other and mute the TV. And it, I mean, yeah, maybe we look, feel like we're third graders, but we're like, we don't need that in our marriage. Mm-hmm. We don't need any false displays of not real love. Mm-hmm. And so just allowing, protecting your marriage in every way that you possibly can so that you don't have any more of these influencing you, because they will continue to come from all areas. Mm-hmm. And so those would be my final, like, just things I would suggest to help combat these lies that are coming at us from everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was so much fun to talk to you. If you're listening and you're like, oh, books, what are you talking about? There's a link in the show notes to our list of recommended books. There's a bunch of books on that list. So please check those out. Holy Sex is one of those. Kelsey also wrote a book. I'll put it on that list too.
Great.
And then if you are interested in checking out the orgasm course, a link to that is also in the show notes. Thanks so much, Kelsey.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.